welcome to another episode of Sports Talk with Bobby and Adam. We are back to talk about the Western Conference Finals. The Spurs are up 3-0 on the Memphis Grizzlies, and the fourth game being played in Memphis Monday night. Bobby, what do you think about this Grizzlies team hoping to become the first team in NBA history to come back from a 3-0 deficit in a playoff series?
Well, I'll tell you, if they are to make history, it starts with Zach Randolph. 14 points on 14 shots. That simply unacceptable, particularly for Memphis's offense, which doesn't have the same threats on the wings as, you know, more prolific offensive teams. Randolph really needs to pick up his game. He also struggled at the free throw line, shooting 50%, 4 of 8. So a lot of it is on his shoulders.
Yeah, very interesting, because Randolph has been neutralized by the seemingly underrated Spurs center and forwards. You have Tiago Splitter, and you have Tim Duncan really shutting him down. It's amazing that the Spurs team hasn't been touted as a great defensive team, yet they are such a great one. They were one of the most efficient teams during the regular season and are continuing to play great defense and shooting the ball very well. They have actually the 18th best effective field goal percentage in NBA history for what they did during the regular season. It's amazing that they're able to do that. That kind of makes up for their bad rebounding. But what their defense has done has hurt the Memphis Grizzlies, who are already an inconsistent offensive bunch.
San Antonio, plain and simple, they know how to win. And it's been evident time and time, year after year. And in this series, in these overtime games, they've proved it. Looking at just how, you know, you can really see that Memphis is learning from San Antonio. I liken it to how Indiana learned last year from Miami. And it definitely helped them, you know, make this huge growth that they've done this season. That's how I see Memphis against San Antonio and what they'll take out of this series moving forward. Of course, there might be some roster shakeups there in the offseason, but hopefully not. And I think, for example, a play that really stuck out to me in the overtime of the most recent game was the Tony Parker wide-open jump shot off of Tim Duncan screen, where Duncan just set up the defensive player of the year, Marc Gasol, perfectly, kind of baited him. And as a result, when Duncan went over to Parker to set the screen on the wing, Gasol was kind of caught in no man's land. He kept to Duncan, but was even playing off him a little too much. And there was no help there. Parker got a wide open jumper, and it helped extend San Antonio's lead in OT and give them a little bit of a cushion. So you can just see that it's the little things. It's the fundamentals of not just the game, but of winning. Tim Duncan is beating guys down the floor in overtime, you know, despite playing 44 minutes. That shouldn't happen if you're the younger Grizzlies. You're the more athletic Memphis team, particularly, you know, with your bigs. So that shouldn't happen, but they're learning a lot from this series. And I hope that, depending on what their roster is moving forward, they experience a similar growth as to what Indiana went through this season.
Yeah, that's a very good comparison. I was thinking of taking a look and saying, okay, well, this Miami-Indiana series might be paralleled to this Memphis-San Antonio, but the problem is, you know, the Thunder are definitely lurking, and we'll see what they can do on the offseason with Russell Westbrook returning from injury. But Tim Duncan, playing over 200 postseason games in his career, and still playing more than 40 minutes in a playoff game, it's unbelievable to see what he can do at such an age. It's amazing. And, you know, their experience showed. The Spurs were able to pound it in the inside and score very efficiently in the paint. And I think that was huge because the Grizzlies shot under 50% in Game 3 from inside the paint. That's horrible. That is just so frustrating, but that's the Spurs really stepping up their defense on the interior. And then seeing the Grizzlies shooting, it was great at the beginning. They hit 4 of their first 7 three-pointers in Game 3, but then proceeded to miss 10 of their next 13 to finish the game. Their inexperience was showing because they weren't shooting the ball very well, because they should understand that they're not that great of a shooting or scoring team. They need to pound the ball on the inside even more. And free throw shooting, that was the most frustrating thing. Their worst free throw shooting game in playoff franchise history. So you can't do that in Game 3 of the Western Conference Finals. That's a big thing. You can't do that at home, and that's the reason why they're down 3-0.
Absolutely. And, Adam, I think that Greg Popovich is very content with that fine he took for resting his players against Miami. He knows how to keep his guys fresh, and as a result, he's able to get the most out of them come playoff time. Tim Duncan playing 44 minutes, you know, Tony Parker playing 43 minutes. He knows how to keep these guys fresh so that they're ready for when the games matter most, and they come through for him. And you mentioned points in the paint. San Antonio, 58 compared to Memphis's 42. Boris Diaw really stepped up. Duncan, of course. Thiago Splitter had a fantastic game, including 11 points. But someone who caught us all by surprise was Matt Bonner going into the lane. It started with two missed, you know, jump hook shots, one off a dribble. But Matt Bonner did some good things down low and definitely, you know, caught Memphis off guard.
Absolutely hilarious. Gotta love the Red Rocket taking it to the hoop. And on those points in the paint, the Grizzlies actually attempted more shots in the paint. And they ended up having the much worse percentage. That's 51 shots in the paint in Game 3 versus the 46 shot by the Spurs. But the Spurs still outscored them by 16, as you mentioned, on the points in the paint. That's huge. And the Spurs are just showing what they're able to do. So, here really the question of prediction time comes right now. Do you think the Spurs, who are two-and-a-half-point dogs, heading into Monday night, the May 27th Game 4 matchup, in Memphis, do you think the Spurs finish it in four?
No, I don't think it's going to be a sweep. Memphis has too much pride. There's going to be so much energy in the Grindhouse, just a spectacular place to play. Such passionate and dedicated fans. I think Memphis, they're going to come out swinging in Game 4, and they're going to win it. And then I expect San Antonio to be able to finish it off at home.
Interesting. I'm going to take the Spurs in four. I'm very impressed by what they're doing. They understand what's at cost here. They think, you know what, we're going to go home with rest in our pocket. We're going to be ready. And the Pacers, they hope, are going to make it a series against the Heat. So they have as much time to rest as they can, and they give as little rest to the Eastern Conference foe, winning it in four.
When we come back, we'll discuss what Memphis needs to do to keep this series alive and force a Game 5.
We are back to give you a little more analysis on these Grizzlies and Spurs tipping off Game 4 on Monday night. Bobby, you said that you think that these Grizzlies are going to be able to make it to a Game 5. Why is that?
Well, it's like I said, just the heart that this team has. They have so much pride. Lionel Hollins, despite what's going on, there's definitely some doubt, I would presume, in the minds of these players, but he still has them believing. And when you come out in a building that just has that much energy, that much support for a team, it definitely helps motivate you, and it helps get your energy up. It definitely has a tangible impact on the game. So I think Memphis is not going to get swept and lose both games at the Grindhouse. Now, as far as X's and O's and what they need to do, of course, Zach Randolph needs to get out of his head a little bit, needs to pick his play up and return to the Z-Bo that we all have enjoyed watching throughout this year and really since he came to Memphis.
Point, because this Grizzlies team, you're right, has a lot of pride, and they're a very strong team and a strong-willed team. You know, it's just that there is such a fine line between winning and losing that the Spurs have been able to take their veteran experience and have won a few games a series that could have gone either way. I'm just not sure the Grizzlies are going to be able to come back from that. And that's the reason why I do think that this ends in four. It's just because the Spurs team has their number. It just doesn't seem like the Grizzlies can string together a few good offensive quarters together. And we saw it in Game 3 and in Game 2. The Grizzlies either had to come back in Game 2 at the end there and just barely, they had a chance, but just barely held on to make it into overtime. And then you had, in Game 3, they couldn't even continue that great first quarter. It's just they just don't have enough weapons like the Spurs do, and they're just not as ready as this Spurs team is to make it to the finals.
Yeah, I'm not talking about going to the finals, though. I'm just talking about simply winning one game, a home game with your season on the line. And for Memphis, something that needs to continue is turnovers. They forced 17 of them, and it was able to generate transition, fast break scoring for them, particularly, you know, in that great first quarter where Pop ended up sitting all five of his starters. Mike Conley, Tony Allen, those guys were getting in the passing lane. It was a little bit of laziness on San Antonio's part, but those guys were more aggressive in the first quarter defensively and came out with more energy than they did the rest of the game, weren't able to sustain that. Now, you give San Antonio a lot of credit for, you know, being able to counter Pop, getting, you know, more out of his players as the game progressed. That's just what they do. I don't think anyone truly doubted San Antonio was going to come back in that game. It was going to be close at the end. But Memphis needs to be able to sustain that level of play, particularly given the fact that their season is on the line.
Yeah, definitely. You know, the backs are against the wall, so that's the reason why most think that they'll be able to take this game four. It's just that I'm surprised that the Grizzlies weren't able to take that game three. I thought that was the opportunity for them to take a game and at least get some momentum going. Now the Spurs have everything going for them. With only the day off in between, I think the Spurs are going to be able to carry that momentum into the final game and be able to continue it and give them the fourth victory.
Well, winning game three was about making it a series. Game four is about preservation for the Grizzlies. It's about keeping your season alive. And a key indicator in whether or not they're able to be successful is the role players. Quincy Pondexter, Jared Bayless, Darrell Arthur, those guys need to elevate their games. Now, Pondexter gave Memphis a lot in that last game. However, he missed some timely shots that really would have swung momentum in Memphis's favor. And who knows how much of an impact it would have had on a victory, but it certainly would have gone a long way in the moment. And he needs to knock those shots down on top of everything else that he was contributing from game three. Darrell Arthur, rebounds, defense, mid-range jump shots. Jared Bayless, he needs to be hitting threes, limit the turnovers, and just, you know, playing good defense. These guys need to elevate their games and give a good all-around performance if Memphis is to win.
Yeah, it's a huge help for that team because the others, as Shaq always says, really help that team get to the finish. Of course, the starters are the most important, but the others are going to be able to string together those times when the starters are on the bench. Well, that makes it another great episode of Sports Talk with Bobby and Adam. We're glad to have you listening, and you can always get me on Twitter at @StatsAdam. You can always tweet to our hashtag, STWBA.
Make sure to get us your questions. We love hearing from you guys. We do the best we can to answer to the fullest extent. And if you want to tweet at me personally, you can reach me at @Bobby_K91. Look forward to hearing from you.